Welcome to Listen to Lawrence, presented by Lawrence Eric Davidow, Senior and Managing Partner of Davidow, Davidow, Siegel & Stern, one of the first and most successful elder law, special needs, and estate planning firms on Long Island. This podcast series is based on his Listen to Lawrence seminars and will teach you how to plan in advance to protect your own assets and those that you leave to your children and grandchildren. Mr. Davidow is a past president of the National Academy of Elder Law Attorneys, a published author, and an accomplished and educational speaker. So sit back and listen to Lawrence.
Hello, everyone. My name is Lawrence Davidow, and this is my podcast. It's the Listen to Lawrence podcast, so welcome. I dedicate this podcast to answering your direct questions that you send me or commonly asked questions that I get all the time. And I want you to take away something. I want you to learn at least one thing from each of these episodes. So we actually had a question today, and I'm going to read it. It has to do with second marriages, and this comes up a lot, as you can imagine, with 50% of marriages ending in divorce in this country. At least that's what I hear. The question of people getting married for a second time, why they would do that is another story. But if they get married a second time, it's probably the most difficult estate planning that we have here because a lot of issues come up with his kids, her kids, et cetera, et cetera. So here's a question that came up. I'll read it to you, and then we'll have a little discussion about it. At least I'll be discussing it. So it says, my father married a widow with two grown children approximately 30 years ago. All right, they've been married for 30 years. Unfortunately, and that comes up all the time, even these second marriages could be a lot longer than the first marriages. It says, unfortunately, she is terminally ill and completely demented. The stepchildren, so her children, are demanding that all her IRAs be changed to name them as beneficiaries. And if he fails to do so, they are threatening to sue him, claiming that their mother gave up working and is entitled to half his estate, which in turn belongs to them. Can they do this? So the real question here is, are your children entitled to anything? And I will tell you that many children feel entitled. That's for sure. Let's not get into my kids. But children certainly feel entitled. But are they entitled to an inheritance? And the answer is absolutely not. Now, first of all, my heart goes out to this family. There's a marriage here of 30 years, and we have a dying and demented woman, and my heart does go out to them. But the buzzers are circling already to figure out who's going to get what. And while you might want to sympathize with her children, they may get nothing. And that's the bottom line. If she names the husband as the beneficiary of everything, for 30 years they've been married, they probably have an old will that some lawyer did for them many, many years ago that says, I leave everything to my husband, I leave everything to my wife. So she dies, he gets everything. The children absolutely get nothing. And when the husband dies, it's up to him. It's his money now. He can do anything he wants with that money. And if he wants to give something to her kids, then he can. I mean, they was married to their mother for 30 years. And I think that he certainly has some ethical reasons why he should do so. But he doesn't have to. And if they're going to sue him and start being naughty, then I would think that it's probable they're not going to get anything. So maybe you get more flies with honey than something else. But no, he doesn't have to leave anything to them. They're not entitled to a thing. But the real mistake is happened a long time ago when she named him as the direct beneficiary of the IRA and had a will everything to him because she trusted him to leave something to these kids. And I think that sometimes even with the most loving marriages, that sometimes it's naive to always leave everything to the surviving spouse in a second marriage because you are leaving it up to the surviving spouse. Now, when you did it, and let's say that they did it at a time when they loved each other, they still loved each other, they loved each other the entire 30 years, and they always knew that they would do the right thing for each other's children. But then, you know, the wife dies here. He always meant to give something to her kids, perhaps. But 10 years go by, he meets another woman, he has new priorities in his life, or her kids kind of drift away. Now that mom is gone, they go on with their lives. They forget to call him on his birthday. They don't invite him for Thanksgiving dinner. And all of a sudden, 10 years have gone by and they don't have a relationship anymore. Well, what would he be sitting there saying? Or if the case were reversed, what would she be saying? She said, you know, those kids, they have completely forgotten me. They don't pay me any attention. I get no dignity. I get no appreciation for all the years that I was with their mother or their father. And they don't deserve to get anything because they have completely thrown me out and they forget about me. I'm a nothing now. And you could see that over time, attitudes could change. And I think that's just the reality of things. Now, of course, there's so many people out there that wouldn't do that. They could hate the wife's kids and they'd still give them the money because it's just the right thing to do and they're ethically motivated to do the right thing. But my experience is that I have some spouses. The moment the first spouse dies, they run in, they change the will, and they make sure that those kids never deserved it. Or it could be 10 years later, or they do the right thing. The whole spectrum is there. Society will have the entire spectrum of different responses here. So what I'm saying to you is really think this out and make sure that you're doing the right thing for your family. You don't want to inadvertently cut out your kids unless you want to specifically cut out your kids, which you're certainly entitled to do. But there are estate planning tools that we have out there that you can use in a situation like this. So let's say in this case, the wife died and she had a will, or we could have done this with a trust as well, but let's say she had a will that says, upon my death, my half of the house and some of the money that I accumulated in my name during the years, or perhaps I brought into the marriage, what I'm going to do with that, I'm going to make my kids wait for the money because I love my husband or I love my wife, as the case may be, and I want to take care of them. I've got dual responsibilities. I have a spouse to take care of and children that I love as well. I need to balance this. So she could have a will in this particular case that says, upon my death, I leave assets in a trust for my husband, and the money in that trust can all be used for my husband to maintain his accustomed manner of living. He can live in the house. This house could be sold. Another house could be purchased for him. All the money could be there to make sure that they have the surviving spouse has the life that they should have and that they want for each other. But at the second death, in this case, when the husband died, the money in her trust will go back to her kids. Or sometimes we just leave some money to the kids up front so they don't have to wait for the second spouse to die. Or sometimes we buy life insurance so that the husband or the surviving spouse gets the house and gets the money, but the life insurance goes to the kids. There's lots of different ways to handle this, but simply ignoring it and just trusting each other naively to leave everything to the surviving spouse and hope that the surviving spouse does the right thing over time may or may not work out. So this question that came up here, there's a lot more we could say about this, but I think that what we have here is the one piece of advice that I want to give you, the one thing that I want you to walk away from this podcast, and that is second marriages are complicated. They're complicated from an estate planning point of view because you have a dual responsibility, perhaps you may see it that way, between balancing the needs for your spouse and balancing the needs of protecting the assets for your kids. That should be thought out. I will tell you that these conversations are one of the most difficult I have. I could have a client come in with $100 million and we're doing very fancy estate tax planning. That's easier than talking to spouses about, oh, you may not want to trust him or her. And we need to figure this out. And maybe we're doing a prenup here also. A prenup would have helped. And having that conversation and all the emotional baggage that goes with those type of conversations. All of this is difficult, but you need to talk it out. So that's my little nugget for today. I hope that you learned something. I hope you're taking something home with you. If you have questions in the future, I want you to write me. Write us at info@davidoutlaw.com. That's info@davidoutlaw.com, davidoutlaw.com. Send me your questions. I may answer them in a future podcast, or in my twice a week listen to Lawrence letter that we email out with answering the questions that you're sending us. So sign up for those listen to Lawrence letters, listen to these podcasts, learn at least one new thing each time. Look, I enjoyed doing this today. Thank you very much for listening. I wish you peace, health, and happiness. And until next time, stay safe, my friends. Bye-bye.
The Listen to Lawrence podcast is not meant to be advice particular to any one person or to serve as a do-it-yourself planning guide. It's simply to educate the audience. For more information, please visit daviddowlaw.com.